All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league. All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league.
The following is a HoopBall presentation.
Welcome in, HoopBallers, to another Thursday night edition of your Box Score Breakdown. As always, I'm your host, David Bracey, here with Chris. Chris, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing well. Getting hit with a little bit of snow, but that's all right. How about you?
I'm hanging in there. They're saying the snow is going to be coming for me tomorrow, so I'll get my share pretty shortly here. But for the time being, no snow, and I'm staying warm.
Well, winter's here.
Yes, it is. It definitely is. And as always, so is NBA basketball on another Thursday night. Short a game tonight, only five games on this card for Thursday evening, but we're going to take you through it tonight and break down all the scores. Starting off tonight in the Big Apple, New York, going against the Phoenix Suns. Suns able to get the win 121-98, unsurprisingly, since the Knicks can't really seem to win any games. On the Phoenix side of the ball, Mikal Bridges got 34 minutes for 7 points on 3 of 5 shooting, got 5 rebounds, 4 assists, surprisingly no defensive stats and 4 turnovers. Dario Saric, 28 minutes, 11 points on 5 of 12 shooting, gave you a 3 with 6 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, no blocks, and a turnover. Devin Booker, 27 minutes for 29 points on 9 of 17 from the field. Only 2 threes tonight from Booker, but 9 of 11 from the line is very strong per usual. 4 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, and 4 turnovers. And then Rubio, 35 minutes for 25 points on 10 of 18 shooting. 3 threes, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 8 rebounds, 13 assists, 4 steals, a block, and 4 turnovers. So a really cool line from Rubio, but the line of the night was the man in the middle, DeAndre Ayton,
34 minutes for 26 points on 11 of 15 shooting, a perfect 4 of 4 from the free throw line, 21 rebounds, 15 of those defensively, 2 assists, 2 blocks, and only 2 turnovers. Absolutely feasting in the middle tonight. Aaron Baines only saw 14 minutes off the bench and didn't do a whole lot with him. Cam Johnson also saw 23 minutes off the bench for 10 points, 2 threes, 4 rebounds, and a block. As far as the lines go tonight on the Phoenix side of the ball, Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges got a little bit more of an extended run with Kelly Oubre being out of the lineup due to concussion protocol. Hopefully he'll be able to come back here pretty soon. As I said before, DeAndre Ayton, I mean, even when he wasn't starting and coming off the bench, he was the person that you clearly wanted to own. We know his value. Now that he's back into the lineup, he's been looking really, really strong and it's going to continue to roll. Probably not at such an elevated clip as tonight, as I said, since Oubre was out of the lineup. More rebounds to go around, more usage to go around, but definitely really, really strong. I'm a big fan of Ayton and love his production. And then Booker, even in 27 minutes tonight, I mean, absolutely scorching. 29 points on 9 of 17 from the field is excellent. 9 of 11 from the free throw line is also excellent. He's really, really carrying you from a free throw perspective in 9 category leagues, so you got to love his production. Anything else really worth note on the Phoenix side of the ball for you, Chris?
No, I think you pretty much covered it. I think it's really good for them to have Rubio running the show. Obviously, tonight they're playing against New York, which is a nobody. But I, from the flow of the game, you can see it really helps to have like a real point guard out there running the show for them. So I think that will help going down the road.
Absolutely, I agree.
So hopping on to the New York side, we have Julius Randle leading all scoring with 26 points on 11 of 23 shooting, with 2 3-pointers, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 steals. You'll take that 3 steal from Randle any day of the week. And we welcome back Marcus Morris. So he has 17 points. The shooting wasn't very good, for only 4 of 11, but he did hit 2 3-pointers and had 3 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal. Made his living on the line, was 7 of 10 from the charity stripe. That's the only 2 starter from New York that was in double digits. So I believe RJ Barrett got injured, so he only played 14 minutes tonight. Ended up with 7 points, 1 3-pointer, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. Alfred Payton, the starting point guard, had 8 points on 4 of 7 shooting, had 2 rebounds, 7 assists, and 1 steal. And starting at center is Taj Gibson, had 5 points, only played 13 minutes, 5 points, 1 rebound, and 2 turnovers. Coming off the bench, we have Mitchell Robinson, who had a much better game than usual because he played 30 minutes and was in foul trouble. Had 12 points, 8 rebounds, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. You gotta love those 5 defensive stats he's putting out there. The rest of the team, Damian Dotson played 26 minutes, had 6 points on 3 of 6 shooting. Also chipped in with 2 rebounds. Neil Kina was playing the point guard off the bench, but really bad shooting, only 1 of 7 for 2 points, and had 1 rebound and 6 assists. Bobby Portis managed to pull down 10 rebounds in the 17 minutes that he played, but was only 2 of 7 from the floor with 5 points. Kevin Knox with 7 points and 4 rebounds and 2 steals. And that's pretty much it. I believe this is the first time Mitchell Robinson's topped more than 25 minutes in the last 8 games. So we know that he's going to produce if he gets the minutes. For some reason, they keep starting Gibson in front of him. So I don't know. I hope this is a sign of good things to come. But I don't know. It may also be the fact that they just need some length to match up with Aiden on Phoenix. What do you think?
You know, I can't really figure it out myself. I hope that it is the former and not just the latter, which would be just a more matchup-based opportunity for Mitch Robb tonight. Because, I mean, clearly he is the much more talented player. It's complete mystery to me why Taj Gibson is getting any run whatsoever. But it was very confusing to me when in the offseason the Knicks decided to sign, well, four power forwards. I mean, so there's just a lot of confusion and dysfunction as far as New York Knicks basketball goes, which is really unfortunate for Mitchell Robinson's fantasy value. But I think even in limited minutes, just because of his just massive defensive potential, he's still going to be able to contribute to your team pretty significantly. And then, of course, the field goal percentage is probably also going to be able to maintain a pretty high clip, because even if he is getting limited minutes, that's only going to limit his shot attempts. And it's not like he's taking a high volume of those anyways. So a little bit of give and take there, but I'm with you. Hopefully this is the start of something good to come.
Yeah, I think the Mitch Robb situation is frustrating, but he's still, like you said, like he's still putting up those great defensive stats, which keeps help float his values. So he's still very rosterable in standard leagues. And I would say anytime he has a bad game out there, you just keep floating those offers out there. If you need those defensive stats, go see if you can pry him off a frustrated Mitch Robb owner. And yeah, you never know. If they decide to give him the minutes, watch out.
Yeah, I agree. All right, heading into our next game, the Boston Celtics going against the Milwaukee Bucks. Celtics fell to the Milwaukee Bucks, 123-128. On the Boston side of the ball, Gordon Hayward got 32 minutes for 7 points, but only made 1 of 10 field goals, and that one field goal he made was a three. A perfect 4-4 from the free throw line with 5 rebounds, 2 assists, no defensive stats, and a turnover. Tatum in the lineup, 40 minutes for 17 points on 8 of 20 from the field. Gave you a three with 7 rebounds, 3 assists, a block, and 2 steals. Or I'm sorry, 2 turnovers. Daniel Tice starting in the middle for 22 minutes on 12 points on 5 of 8 from the field. Gave you a three, gave you 10 rebounds, 2 blocks, and a steal with 0 turnovers. And then the high scorers for the Celtics tonight, Marcus Smart and Kemba Walker. Marcus Smart got 36 minutes for 24 points on 6 of 15 from the field. Made 5 threes and a perfect 7 of 7 from the free throw line. Gave you 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, a block, and a turnover. Excellent line from Smart tonight. We know that he can contribute across the board. This is exactly what we're looking to see. Kemba Walker doing exactly what Kemba Walker does. Get you buckets in a high volume. 38 minutes, 40 points on 14 of 23 from the field. Excellent. 4 3-pointers, 8 of 9 from the free throw line. 11 rebounds, 3 assists, a block, and 2 turnovers. Really kept the Celtics in this game. Both him and Marcus Smart making big plays down the stretch. Tatum was hitting big shots down the stretch, but Kemba Walker really turning on the Jets there late in the fourth quarter to push the pace and keep the Celtics in this game, which ended up being a lot closer than it was played. I think the Bucks made something like 12 three-pointers in the first half, so I mean, it was getting close to blowout territory, but the Celtics did a good job staying competitive. Off the bench, Cantor got 15 minutes for 9 points on 4 of 6 from the field. Only gave you 1 rebound and 2 blocks, so you'll definitely take the blocks, but we're not expecting that kind of defensive output from Cantor on a consistent basis. And then the only other guys off of the bench really of note, I guess, would be Semi Ojeleye got 19 minutes for 6 points on 2 of 5 from the field. Gave you 2 assists. A rebound and no defensive stats. But again, neither Semi Ojeleye or, in my opinion, Enes Kanter are guys who really have a lot of standard league value. The value on the Celtics team obviously is confined to the starting lineup tonight. Marcus Smart, Kemba Walker really carrying the load, Jason Tatum doing what Jason Tatum does, and a pretty quiet line from Gordon Hayward tonight. But he's kind of been struggling as of late. You can expect that to normalize here soon. So maybe a good buy low opportunity on Gordon Hayward. Any thoughts from you on the Boston Celtics?
Yeah, I was gonna say talk about Hayward as well. Like, he's definitely a buy low target. Like, he's been very not Gordon Hayward like the past few games. He's flip flopping with one good game, one bad game, one good game, one bad game. And yeah, so if you can get him, like, he's as steady as they come. This is just a weird stretch for him, I think. So moving on to the Milwaukee side, who got their revenge against Boston. Leading the way is Giannis, obviously, with 32 points, 17 rebounds, and 7 assists. Missed the triple-double by 3 assists. He also chipped in with 2 blocks. And we also have Chris Middleton with 23 points on 8 of 13 shooting, with 3 three-pointers, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals. Brook Lopez doing his thing as well in the middle. Well, not so much in the middle, but 16 points on 6 of 10 shooting, 3 three-pointers, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, and 4 blocks. Eric Bledsoe only had 20 minutes tonight. I wasn't able to watch this game. Was the low minutes just due to foul trouble?
You know, I'm really not sure. I'm assuming so, since he had 4 fouls tonight, but tough to tell. I didn't see the entire game myself.
Okay. Yeah, so 20 minutes, he managed to score 9 points on 2 of 9 shooting, so maybe the shot was just off, and I'll get to it later. DiVincenzo had a great game off the bench. So Bledsoe also chipped in with 2 rebounds and 4 assists. Starting at shooting guard, we have Wesley Matthews, but he didn't hit a shot, so 0 points, but did chip in with 4 rebounds and 1 assist. So as I mentioned, coming off the bench, DiVincenzo played almost 28 minutes, had 19 points on 6 of 11 shooting, with 4 three-pointers, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, and 2 steals. George Hill also contributed 13 points on 4-6 shooting, hitting all 3 of his shots from behind the arc, and chipped in with 2 rebounds and 2 assists. The rest of the bench, I think the only thing worth mentioning is Kyle Korver and Ilyasova each chipped in with 8 points. Ilyasova also pulled down 9 rebounds, which was pretty significant. So yeah, I think that's pretty much it on the Milwaukee end. As far as fantasy goes, DiVincenzo would be a guy. I love his play. I don't know why. I love to see this guy out there, and I actually wrote him for a while earlier in the season, and when I believe Middleton was out for a while there, so DiVincenzo was getting a fair amount of play. He might not get a lot of usage on normal games, but he has a very good steal rate, and he will hit you 1-3 a game. So not going to contribute too much on the scoring front. Will hover maybe just below double digits in scoring, but will contribute right across the board if he gets the playing time. I really hope he'll overtake Wesley Matthews, but if coming off the bench means him getting more touches, I wouldn't mind that either. Anything you see that I didn't mention, David?
No, I think you covered it. I agree with you on DiVincenzo. Hopefully, yeah, he can win the lion's share of the minutes there between him and Wes Matthews going forward, because DiVincenzo definitely has more potential and definitely has more fantasy appeal. So I agree with you 100%. All right, heading into our third game for the evening, we saw the Utah Jazz taking on the New Orleans Pelicans. The Jazz win streak coming to an end as they lost 132-138. The Jazz put up 132 points, heavily assisted by Donovan Mitchell. Mitchell got 42 minutes tonight for 46 points on 16-34 from the field. Gave you 7 threes, a perfect 7-7 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 3 turnovers. Joe Ingles got 39 minutes tonight for 12 points on 5 of 11 from the field, gave you a 3, struggled from the free throw line, 1 of 3 from the free throw line, but gave you 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, and 3 turnovers. Rudy Gobert, man in the middle, 38 minutes or 17 points on 6 of 10 from the field, 5 of 9 from the free throw line with 14 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks, and only 1 turnover. Royce O'Neal in the starting lineup, 36 minutes, 9 points on 3 of 4 from the field, gave you a 3 and 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, no steals, and no turnovers. And Bohan Bogdanović, 40 minutes, 26 points on 9 of 17 from the field, gave you 3 threes, a perfect 5 of 5 from the free throw line, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, no defensive stats, and 2 turnovers. Off the bench, Jordan Clarkson got 21 minutes for 15 points on 5 of 11 from the field with 3 three-pointers, 2 rebounds, 2 steals, and 1 turnover. So, again, per usual, the fantasy lines here, the fantasy value is confined to the starting lineup on the Utah Jazz. Donovan Mitchell really getting the job done for the Jazz tonight. Shooting pretty strong, 16 and 34, 47% from the field is pretty strong. 46 points, you definitely love to see that. You love what Bogdanović has been doing as of late. Also been shooting really efficiently, giving you a lot of points on a high clip. And then Rudy Gobert, I mean, this is a really, really prototypical Rudy Gobert line tonight. 17 points on 6 of 10 from the field, really anchoring you in field goal percentage, giving you that high volume of rebounds and bringing it defensively with the 3 blocks on a limited amount of turnovers. And 5 of 9 from the line isn't great, but it doesn't absolutely murder you. Gobert has been pretty solid this season. I'm personally a fan. And as I said, like, Joe Ingles, as long as Mike Conley is going to be out of the lineup, he's going to continue to roll. Conley did go through a more elevated workout today, so it looks like he is on the cusp of a return. However, we really don't know what that will mean for the Jazz going forward, what that will mean for their starting lineup, what that will mean for Ingles and Conley. To be completely honest, we don't know if he's going to be able to stay healthy and actually consistently stay in the lineup. So definitely a situation to monitor, and we'll wait and see. Anything of note regarding the Jazz from you, Chris?
No, I think you pretty much covered it. I'm a Bogdanović owner, so I noticed he was in a bit of a dry spell kind of later in the second half of December. There was a bit of a scare there. The points were low and the percentages were dropping, but he has since then recovered. Bogdanović is solid. He's a solid source of points, threes, and it's one of those rare guys that gets you those big three-point contribution without hurting you in the percentages. So, yeah, I think he's a great player to own there. And like you said, that Conley situation, we'll just have to keep monitoring, and we'll see how Utah deals, how Utah's rotation changes when he comes back. Now, on to the New Orleans side. Mitchell Robinson, Don Mitchell had a great game, and Brandon Ingram said, "I'll do you one better," with his 49 points on 15 of 25 shooting, with 3 three-pointers, and he took 20 free throws, hitting 16 of them. He also chipped in with 8 rebounds, 6 assists, and a block. It was just the Brandon Ingram show on the New Orleans side. We also welcome back Derek Favors, who had 21 points on 10 of 12 shooting and pulled down 11 rebounds, had 3 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. He is doing the work on the defensive end for them. The rest of the starters are all in single digits. The only person of note will be Lonzo Ball, who played a ton of minutes, 42 minutes, only to contribute 5 points because of horrible shooting night for him, 2 of 12 from the floor. Had 1 three-pointers, 4 rebounds, but did was running the show, had 13 assists, and also chipped in with 2 blocks. Nicolo Melli got the start at the power forward position, played 26 minutes, only had 7 points and 4 rebounds. Josh Hart had 9 points, 7 rebounds, but did chip in with 3 steals and 1 block. The bench on the New Orleans side was doing most of the scoring work. Etwan Moore had a very efficient shooting night with 16 points on 7-11 shooting with 2 3-pointers. Also chipped in with 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and a steal. Frank Jackson had 10 points on 3-5 shooting, had 3 rebounds, 1 assist, and a steal. Nickeil Alexander-Walker had 12 points on 5-11 shooting with 2 3-pointers, 1 rebound, and 3 assists. Jackson Hayes also had 9 points in his 12 minutes, hit all 3 of his shots, and also pulled down 5 rebounds and 1 block. Now, for those owners that were streaming Jackson Hayes while Derek Favors out, you can safely cut him, throw him back onto the wire. Derek Favors is back. He's going to take up the most of the minutes at center, as they do need his defense in the middle. Like, he's that anchor. He's the anchor for that team on the defensive end. They need him. That's New Orleans looks like just a completely different team with him out there. And that's kind of what the boys on our new podcast today in sports betting, they were leaning on in this game. They were leaning New Orleans on the spread, and New Orleans actually pulled out a win. And the big point here was, one, Ingram's coming back into the lineup, and also Derek Favors. And Derek Favors is a big piece of this New Orleans team. Anything else you see from New Orleans?
No, honestly, I think that you covered it. I guess we're just waiting for next week for Zion's return. Curious to see what his minute totals look like for the rest of the season going forward. I just very, very excited to see him play, as I'm sure the entire world and the entire league is. So looking forward to that. But yeah, I think you pretty much covered it.
All right.
And this would be an excellent time, speaking of sports leans, for me to give a quick shout out to our favorites at MyBookie. MyBookie is the number one place for you to go to place your sports betting. They have more lines and better odds than any other sports book around. And we've got a big Sunday coming up. I mean, conference championships, you got the Titans and the Chiefs, the Packers and the Niners. I don't know if you're a football guy, but if you're not, even if you're not, they've got all the sports lines just for you. They've got NBA. They've got NFL. They've got the Premier League. Pick your poison, whatever you want. They've got you covered at MyBookie. Head over to MyBookie.ag to make your predictions a reality. MyBookie is one of the most trusted in the industry. If you're looking for a sports book to go make some bets on the conference championships or the Super Bowl or anything in between, MyBookie is where you want to go. They've got the fastest payouts, the best promotions, and an incredible 24/7 customer service team. You can even pool your bets together for a bigger payout. So let's say you've got a couple big favorites this week, parlay your wagers, let you make multiple bets together, and if they all come through, you win big. I said it once, and I'm going to say it again. MyBookie has more lines and better odds for the player than any other sports book around, and you can bet on it. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000, a grand, a stack. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Who doesn't like free, especially when it's free money? All you have to do is use our promo code BOXSCORE to activate the offer. Let me tell you one more time. That promo code is BOXSCORE to get your extra cash from MyBookie. MyBookie, bet, win, and most importantly, get paid. All right, heading into the final two games of the evening, we saw an absolute blowout between the Clippers and the Magic. Final score of 95-122. I mean, it was, I can't emphasize enough, it was just not a fair fight at all. And the Clippers were shorthanded, so that says a lot about the Magic. And I mean, to be in fairness, the Magic are without DJ Augustine. They are without Jonathan Isaac. They did have Fournier back in the lineup tonight, but they struggled mightily. On the Magic side of the ball, Aaron Gordon got 28 minutes, 20 points on 8 of 11 from the field, gave you 4 threes, 5 assists, and absolutely nothing else. Kim Birch got 19 minutes and did absolutely nothing with him offensively, gave you 3 rebounds, 2 assists, no defensive stats, and 3 turnovers. Nikola Vucevic, 29 minutes for 22 points on 8 of 13 from the field, gave you 3 threes and a perfect 3 of 3 from the free throw line, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, no blocks, and only 1 turnover. Fournier, as I said, back in the starting lineup, 29 minutes for 15 points on 6 of 15 from the field, 3 of 5 from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, no defensive stats, no turnovers. And then Markelle Fultz, 29 minutes in the starting lineup tonight, 11 points on 5 of 17 from the field, gave you a 3, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 turnovers, a steal, and a block. Off the bench, Terrence Ross and Wes Iwundu got 28 and 27 minutes respectively. Terrence Ross got 16 points on 5 of 15 from the field. 4 of those were 3-pointers, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, a block, and a turnover. And then Wes Iwundu, 8 points on 3 of 8 shooting, gave you 2 threes, 4 rebounds, an assist, a steal, and a block. Mo Bamba got some run tonight, 18 minutes, but didn't do a whole lot in him. Only a point, 7 rebounds, an assist, and a block. And really, those are going to be the only guys of note off the bench. But again, Terrence Ross, Wes Iwundu, and Mo Bamba, in my opinion, are not going to be standard league guys. Markelle Fultz is going to have all the opportunity he can handle now, especially with DJ Augustine being out of the lineup. He continues to get over 10 points per game pretty consistently. We're looking for everything else to come with that. He's been contributing pretty consistently in assists as well, so some sneaky value there. Fournier back in the lineup. Hopefully he can continue to provide some floor spacing for the Magic, who don't really have a whole lot of outside shooting, so they're going to be leaning on him very, very heavily again, especially in the absence of DJ Augustine. And then, as I said, not a whole lot really to talk about on the Magic. They got absolutely stomped tonight. They gave their starters the run because they don't really have a whole lot of players otherwise. Anything of note from you, Chris, on the Magic side of the ball here?
No, you pretty much covered it. I think, there's not a lot of interesting things coming out of Orlando in terms of fantasy. With Isaac going down, we don't see anyone really picking it up. It's more just kind of spread among the starters and the fringy Terrence Ross. And now with DJ Augustine also going down, Fultz is going to get his run, all the minutes that he can handle. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Now, moving to the LA Clippers side. So, Orlando wanted to go home with 2-0 from LA, and Kawhi Leonard said, not going to happen. 32 points on 12 of 20 shooting with 4 three-pointers, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. A steal and a block, just contribution right across the board, and with 32 big ones, is absolutely pounded the Orlando team. They had nobody that could stop them. And mind you, most of the damage was done in 3/4 of work by Leonard. So at point guard, we have Patrick Beverley, who only played 20 minutes but did manage 10 points on 4-4 shooting, 1 3-pointers, 2 rebounds, and 7 assists, and 1 steal. Landry Shamet had 13 points on 5 of 13 shooting with 3 three-pointers, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. Zubats started in the middle, had 8 points, hit all 4 of his shots from the field, and also pulled down 8 rebounds and chipped in 1 assist and 1 block. Mo Harkless started but only played 13 and a half minutes, had 0 points and 6 rebounds. Coming off the bench, the usual suspects. Lou Williams didn't have a good shooting night, only 11 points on 4 of 14 shooting, with 1 three-pointer, 4 rebounds, and 5 assists. Montrezl Harrell had 21 points to lead all bench scoring for the Clippers, and 9 of 15 from the field, 3 of 9 from the charity stripe, which really hurts, but he'll take that 21 points and 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 block any day. Jermichael Green also had a very solid game with 11 points and 13 rebounds. As you mentioned, the game was a blowout, so Jermichael got a fair bit of run with 20 and a half minutes. Others of note, Patrick Patterson has played 13 minutes, had 10 points with 2 threes, 4 rebounds, and 1 assist. And yeah, that's about it from the Clipper side. I think one interesting thing you might want to keep your eye on is the Zubats minute watch. For the past 2 games, he's had over 20 minutes. So I don't know if there's a shift and if the organization is planning on giving him more run. Zubats is always solid on the rebounding end, and he doesn't need a lot of touches. So definitely keep an eye on the situation. He will be solid guy source for rebounds and blocks. David, anything you see?
Yeah, I agree with you about the about monitoring the whole Zubac situation. I've also been hearing some rumblings about a potential trade for Trez out of LA. So interested to see what that would open up if that was the case. Because of course, then Zubac would immediately, be in my opinion in must-own territory simply because we can anticipate if he is moved out, it's probably going to be for another forward, probably not a center. So you can anticipate that Zubac's going to get the majority of that run. However, depending on the player that they bring him in, it could alter the minutes. It's really definitely, like I said, a situation to monitor and something that I'm curious to see how that materializes. But like you said, I think you're pretty well covered as far as the Clippers go. Which brings us into our final game tonight, which has 15 seconds left in the game as we speak. The Golden State Warriors up 2 on the Denver Nuggets in the Bay, 113 to 111. The game started out pretty lopsided, honestly, but there has been some pushes on both ends of the court here, and we find ourselves with 15 seconds left in the game and a very close score. So let's go ahead and dive right into it. On the Denver side of the ball, Torrey Craig, 16 minutes, 0 points, 3 rebounds, an assist, 2 steals, and a turnover. Jeremy Grant, 27 minutes, 6 points on 3 of 10 from the field, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 2 turnovers. Will Barton got 37 minutes tonight for 25 points on 9 of 18 from the field, gave you 5 threes, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal, a block, and 2 turnovers. Monty Morris starting at point guard tonight, sans Jamal Murray, 25 minutes for 11 points on 3 of 9 from the field, gave you a 3, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1 turnover. And then Nikola Jokic in the middle, 39 minutes for 21 points on 9 of 18 from the field, really struggled early, but looking like he finally got the game to kind of come to him. Didn't hit a 3 tonight, but was perfect from the charity stripe. 11 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 blocks, and a high 8 turnovers. So I'm really, really giving him the business tonight, really, really making him feel uncomfortable. Off of the bench, Porter Jr., 24 minutes for 16 points on 6 of 8 from the field. Gave you 3 three-pointers, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, no blocks, and no turnovers. And then Malik Beasley, 34 minutes, 21 points on 8 of 14 from the field. Gave you 5 threes, 3 rebounds, and assists, 3 steals, no turnovers, and no blocks. The Nuggets are without Gary Harris. They are without Jamal Murray. They're without Paul Millsap. Jamal Murray looking like he's going to be out for a while. Not really sure what specifically that's going to mean for their lineup going forward. But tonight, definitely offensively, they really, really struggled to find a rhythm. You can anticipate that to be kind of a continuing theme going forward with the Nuggets, since they're going to be relying so heavily on Jokic to get them going offensively. You'll see a lot of Will Barton. You're going to see a lot of Monty Morris, Michael Porter Jr. coming off the bench, and Malik Beasley. Those are going to be the primary guys that they look to score, since Jeremy Grant really doesn't have a whole lot of an offensive arsenal. And speaking of the Nuggets, it's looking like they're heading into overtime here in Golden State, tied up 113 all, heading into OT. So Chris, go ahead and take it away with the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, another overtime game. Exciting night. 2 out of 5. So yeah, on the Golden State side, as of now, we have Glenn Robinson, the third leading all scoring, with 17 points on 6 of 10 shooting, 3 three-pointers, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and a block. D'Angelo Russell has 16 points, but only 5 of 17 shooting. All 5 shots coming from downtown, with 3 rebounds, 6 assists, and 2 steals. Damian Lee, missing 2 games, comes back with 16 points on 5 of 12 shooting, 2 three-pointers, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal, and a block. Contribution right across the board there. Willie Cauley-Stein, the man in the middle, also had 10 points on 4 of 5 shooting, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and a block. Draymond Green was running the show tonight. Didn't get much touches. Only had 4 points on 2 of 8 shooting, but did chip in with 8 rebounds and 7 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks. So those are your starters. Coming off the bench, we have Alec Burks leading the bench scoring with 17 points, with 3 of 10 shooting. All 3 coming from downtown. Most of his scoring came from the free throw line, 8 of 9 on the free throw line. Also have 4 rebounds and a steal. Eric Paschal has 16 points on 4 of 7 shooting, 1 three-pointer, 7 of 7 from free throw line, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. And Omari Spellman, after a few good games, this is kind of a letdown. Only 3 points here, with 1 three-pointer, 1 rebound, 2 assists. Jordan Poole had 10 points on 4 of 9 shooting, 2 three-pointers, 2 assists, and 2 rebounds and 2 steals. And Marquise Chris also made a comeback, but this is 4 points, 3 rebounds, assists, a steal, a block. And that's what we have at the moment as we are into overtime here. The Golden State Warriors, I think, will continue to run Damian Lee out there. He's proven to have a solid spot in the rotation, and he will continue to contribute for your fantasy team. So if you pick them up, keep riding them. And as for Russell and Draymond, I believe Golden State is just gonna they will soon enough they'll turn their focus into developing their younger players. So if you can't get any kind of value out of Draymond, do it. And if you can, if Russell has a good game, try to sell him off as soon as you can. Like, these guys will, they will have their values, but I just don't trust it. I'd much rather have someone that's more steady and I can count on into the fantasy playoffs. Anything you see here, David?
No, I think you pretty well covered it. I think honestly, Chris, yeah, you pretty well covered it here with the Warriors, and I think I definitely agree with your points on Russell and Green. Definitely, I am firmly in the camp of if you're a Russell owner, see what you can get after a big game. Definitely don't, you know, sell yourself short or anything. But if there's somebody in your league who's willing to give you a top 40 guy, top 35 guy for D'Angelo Russell, you absolutely take that 10 times out of 10, in my opinion. And, yeah, with Draymond, I mean, it's really just a situation where, I mean, it could be – all I can say is it could be worse. You know, you could be a Mike Conley owner. If you happen to own Mike Conley and Draymond Green, I am so sorry. And I don't really know what to say outside of that except for my condolences. But, yeah, and I definitely like Damian Lee to finish out the season here. I think he's looking really strong. Clearly can play well even alongside D'Angelo Russell and definitely sans Russell being outside of the lineup. So I think Lee's going to have a lot of value. And Spellman, as you said, was pretty disappointing tonight. If you were in the camp, you're looking at Spellman or Wood after two subpar performances, who would you cut? Who would you hold?
You said Spellman and Wood?
Yep, or Christian Wood for the Pistons.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I think... I don't know if they could actually trade Drummond away and open up some minutes there. But I don't know, that's tough. But we've seen Wood do it more than we've seen Omari Spellman. So my lean is on the Wood side, but recently it's really been underwhelming. How about you?
Yeah, you know, I think that I would lean more towards Christian Wood, but underwhelming is definitely the correct verbiage for his performance as of late. And definitely Spellman, I mean, I was thinking that Spellman was firmly, you know, ahead of Pascal, but it looks like, I mean, tonight, minute total wise, Pascal has almost 20 minutes and Spellman's sitting around 15. So not a huge amount of variance there, but definitely something to monitor and definitely noteworthy given how hot of a pickup that Spellman was. But yeah, other than that, I definitely agree with all your points here on Golden State. And it's looking like the Warriors are going to keep this thing close up until the very end. Currently 122-121 Denver, about 2 minutes left in overtime.
David, come to think of it, I think on the Spellman front, if you were lucky enough to pick him up, hold him for now, because Willie Cauley-Stein has 33 minutes of play tonight. And very well might be just to match up with Jokic. So hoping that's the case and hoping Spellman will get more run if they're matching up with some other smaller centers. So that's my hope there. But, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I definitely think that Cauley-Stein's length has given Jokic some pretty good problems tonight because he definitely early on was struggling offensively. Got an early tech. You could tell he's really, really frustrated. He was taken out of his game, not thrown completely out of rhythm. So looking like he's back on track now. Currently 125-121 Denver Nuggets. I think we're heading into a commercial break. So, Chris, where can everybody here on the Hoop Ball Network and all our amazing listeners find you?
You can find me on Twitter at CmanUBC. Feel free to toss me any questions you have fantasy-wise. I'll be happy to answer you. How about you, David? Where can our listeners find you?
Yeah, find me on Twitter as well at DFB_3. Yeah, hit me up. And, of course, catch me next week on Tuesdays and Thursdays for another edition of your daily box score breakdowns. Chris, do you have any projects coming up with HoopBall?
Nothing big. We're kind of into the dog days. And, yeah, I'll be here every Thursday.
Awesome. Well, you know I will be too. And we hope all you listeners out there will join us. For everybody here at HoopBall, thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of your Thursday evening box score breakdown. Chris, thank you as always. Our listeners, thank you so much. Have a great night, everybody.
Have a great night.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.